Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks.
The following is part two of a lecture entitled An Indirect Approach to Family Problems for Getting a Better Situation at Home, recorded Saturday, September 28, 1991, in Dayton, Ohio.
You have to have trust between the members of the house in order to have a healthy family. Trust each other. You have to forgive each other. Forgive each other. Don't be hard on each other. Tolerate each other. Share burdens with each other. When I say tolerating each other, let me give you an example. Some people are more fit for certain things than others. If someone doesn't like to wash dishes, you've got more than one. If there's two people in the house, okay, you've got a bigger problem. But if you've got several, there's brothers and sisters, several, mama, daddy, we hope too, and brothers and sisters, okay, one of them or two of them, they don't like to wash dishes. Maybe all of them don't like to wash dishes. Maybe one of them like to wash dishes. Let that one wash dishes. Another one, he doesn't like to mop the floor, but there's one that doesn't mind. Let him mop the floor. Don't insist, brothers and sisters, that a child does everything you want it to do. Some things a child won't want to do. Find out what that child likes to do and give the child what it likes to do. Maybe it doesn't like to do anything but read. Well, hell, let him read. That'll help him in the future, help you too. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to put a little fire up on them every now and then. You got to have, when something has to be done. But I'm saying be a little more lenient, be a little more tolerant, be a little more understanding of the nature of people, persons, the nature of children and people. Some tend to like certain things more than others. So let those who like those things encourage them to do those things. And believe me, that's something for everybody to do. And one, he can't find nothing to do, tell him. Say, well, hell, you got to find something to do, boy. You got to find something you like. And you don't have but one day to do it. Now, tomorrow, you have to tell me what you like to do. Insist that all of them do something. But don't make all of them iron. Don't make all of them wash dishes. Don't make all of them, you know. Our way was to say, that floor needs to be mopped. Go mop that floor. We don't think about the organization of the family. See, God made a family to be an organization. It's an organization. So you have to organize your labor. You have to organize your people in your family and designate to them certain things to do. Then the family works better. Treat the family as an organization and organize what you have to do. Organize the members of the family to do what has to be done in the house. And be just like a business corporation. Be just like a business concern. Don't assign this duty to one who will not do a good job at it or doesn't care for it. If there's one that likes it more, let him do that. Now, if that boy just likes to iron, watch out. Watch out. Give him something else to do besides ironing, because I saw one become too sweet just ironing on the ironing, at the ironing board. So trust, God has created us and he put a prior condition in us. Trust is a prior condition. Everything is supported by faith and trust. By faith and trust. No matter how much we learn in this religion, no matter how smart we get in this religion, we have to remain Muslim because of faith, not because of knowledge or some kind of revelation that we got. No. We remain Muslim because of faith. The greatest scholar in this religion, he has to remain Muslim because of faith, not because of his knowledge. So this is the prior condition, and it must stay with us, faith. If the society encourages trust between the members of society, one president of the United States, he went over in Russia when Russia had not got this fever for freedom. It wasn't long ago, though. You know, this has happened suddenly. I'm talking about President Reagan. He made a visit to Russia. What did he tell the Russians? He said, trust your people. He must have had an indication that the people were wanting more freedom. He told Russia to trust. He said, trust your people. Now, I'm not knocking the United States at all. I don't want you to think that. Or knocking Reagan. But I said to myself, he should trust his people. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't take it too well. That President Reagan was over there telling Russia to trust his people, and over here they weren't trusting me. And I'm one of the most trustworthy guys in this country. So I didn't like it. Trust your people too, mister. That's what I wanted to say, you know, to him. Well, there you trust your people. And you won't find so many of them in jail and out here tearing down the city and burning up and killing. People want to be trusted. If you don't trust your children won't trust you. In your house. If the establishment won't trust their subjects, the subjects won't trust them. The police force, they won't trust the citizens won't trust them. Trust is very, very important. But so much for that, we can't spend too much time on it. I hope you've understood something of what I've said when I said faith or trust is a prior condition that God has created in us, and we have to promote trust between each other, in the house and in the society. Don't promote distrust. That poisons the society, weakens the society, and makes it destructive, self-destructive. It destroys itself. Now let's quickly, I'm going directly, most of this is indirect, but I'm going directly to something now in the home. We make a big mistake in the home. One another concept for us as Muslims is that absolute ownership is only with God. None of us have absolute ownership of anything. That's important. Get out of the habit of saying, this is mine all the time. This is mine. Don't touch that. That's mine. Don't be overly possessive. Dislike claiming everything for yourself. Instead of saying, this is mine, say, this is ours. Sister, don't say, get out of my refrigerator. Say, get out of our refrigerator. Don't say, don't sit on my couch with those dirty pants. Say, don't sit on our couch with those dirty pants. So much for that. Let's keep moving. Now, property is personal and property is shared, right? Now, when he goes into your jewelry, sister, and look for one of those shiny earrings to put in his ear, say, funny boy, get out of my jewelry. Getting back to faith now, when we accept God and accept his prophet and accept what he has revealed, mainly because we believe, it is our nature to believe in our creator, to trust our creator. If we have that condition in us, then we can accept what God says. We hear and we obey. Muslims have to get out of the habit of hesitating when you know clearly what Allah wants. Stop hesitating. Allah say, pray at Fajr time. If that hits your conscience, are you here to abandon your house? You don't think about that. If you think about it, that means you're questioning what God orders. Oh, let me see now. Should I pray today? If I had talked like that to my mama when I was a boy, she said, Wallace, get up and do such thing. And I hesitate. I say, well, should I do that today? Before I got finished with the sentence, I'd have a knot on my head. Or a whip on my buttocks. Yeah, she would put something to me right away. Okay, so think about that. You going to hesitate now? God says, that's why the word Hayyad Salat means come life. Hayyad Salat, call to prayer, you know? Hayyad Salat. Yeah, that means that. Don't you come to prayer like this. Mama will put some fire behind you, right? Yeah, the Southern mothers, they'll make you straighten up and get them moving like you like it. You start smiling right away. Yes, ma'am. See, me, I know what I thought now. And also, it is connected with faith. I make the connection with faith. I believe I am right in connecting with faith. That is disobedience. This obedience that God wants in us. It is connected with faith. You can't have that kind of obedience unless you have strong faith. You have to have strong faith. The faith has to be strong. Sami'na munadiyan. Same word. We have heard a caller. Yunadi lil iman. Calling to faith. And we have responded. And again, God says that in the second chapter of Quran, in the form of a prayer, sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we are obeyed. And we have obeyed. We have heard and we have obeyed. Are we here? And we obey. That means if you have faith, you are not to hesitate when you know clearly that God orders thus, or order this act, or order such and such thing. Don't hesitate. Because hesitating, let me tell you what hesitating does. Hesitating, when you know it's right to do it, hesitating weakens the muscle to act rightly. Please listen to what I'm saying. Hesitating weakens the muscle to act rightly. You hesitate this time, the next time you're going to be weaker for disobedience. You do it again, after a few days, you're even weaker. Over a period of time in your life, you become so weak until you become like most Muslims. They are not obedient Muslims. They're just Muslim by name. They're not obeying anything.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
We need a better appreciation for our women. For women, period. Not to mention for mother. Mother is more special than just woman. Wife is more special than just woman. But we need a better appreciation for just woman, period. We must understand, brothers, as Muslims, that woman is highly regarded, highly respected in this religion. Highly respected. She's respected for having the same, she has equal intellect, equal intellectual potential, equal brains. In this religion, she has equal spirit, equal soul. She has equal morality. She has everything equal that God gave a human being. Equal. That doesn't mean it'll always turn out that way. Why? Because God has assigned to us different roles in society. So the man, because of the different role he's assigned to, he will become superior to her in certain respects. She will become superior to him in other respects. In other respects. But that inequality that we see in the order of society, or in the society, does not mean that they are not equal. They are equal. And the proof of it is the exception we find in the society. We find women that outdo men brain-wise, intellectually. We find women that will outdo the man morally. Women that will outdo the man in any task that she's assigned to. Give her an opportunity, she want to challenge him, eventually she will show that she's a match for the man. Sex seems to disappear as a factor there for the inequality or anything else, or superiority. It disappears. How do I know? I'm a welder. And believe me, they let women come into the companies. And I was welding for this company at Heliarc, and I thought I was tough. Doing some Heliarc welding. That woman there came in there, buddy, and she made me ashamed to even let her know that I was welding. You know, they don't like a woman to come in. And she was terrific, terrific. That so happened that she had also traits. In her traits, she had some basic skills, some basic talents for mastering that art, the Heliarc process in welding. Because she sure was doing it. She was mastering it. Believe me, she was mastering it. Now, don't think that, I'll go back and say, well, the Imam said it was no different between males and females. No, I didn't say that. I said that inherently there's no difference. Inherently, originally, pardon me, there's no difference. Originally, there's no difference. In terms of human essence and human qualities and potential, no difference. But the fact that we have different roles in the world, in society, makes the distinction. That makes the distinction. Distinguish us for having superiority in certain respects. But believe me, given the same circumstances, over enough time, the woman will prove to be your equal. I hope that'll never happen, because I don't like the shape of these women that's driving these mail trucks. Their buttocks spreading out so much it looks like an upside down sand clock or something, you know? I hope we stay like the Lord made it, a femininity for the women and masculinity for the men. I like it that way. You turn me on, sister, when you get feminine. Now, quickly, let me come to something now a little more touching. But let me give you what is reported in the tradition by one of the excellent reporters of Hadith. He reports that the Prophet said the prayers and the peace be on him of the woman. Now this is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He reported that the Prophet said, "Ad-dunya mata'un." وخير متاعها المرأة الصالحة. The world, the dunya means the world. The world is a benefit, gain, profit, gain, benefit, usefulness, whatever. And the best of its benefit, or its rewards, or its whatever you want to, however you want to translate that, the material benefits, material rewards, and the best of its reward, the best that we have of all this world, he's talking about the whole world. What did he say? A virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Now all that we can see as benefits in this world, the Prophet is saying to us, the best, more better than the cars, brother, more better than the business, to have the business, more better than to be rich and powerful, more better than everything in the world, eating that good dinner some of you love to eat too, you know. I guess it's because we've been poor for a long time. Some of us, we just love to eat. The whole thrill is in eating. Better than that dinner, that good meal, whatever you have of the world, is the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. So that tells us that we should value a believing sister who wants to be decent over everything else that we have in the world of the worldly things. Now we're talking about the sister as a worldly thing now. We're talking about enjoying her as a companion, as my sexual companion. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about a wife. We're talking about the woman, right? So, And isn't that a fact of nature? See, whatever this religion says, nature will support it too. Reality of nature will support it. Now, don't tell me, brother, if you're a real, natural, normal person, man, your best enjoyment is not eating that meal, not riding in that car, not going to an entertainment, seeing a nice movie or seeing a nice show, or hearing a nice Santa band or whatever, or smoking that joint that you do sinfully. If you will tell the truth, your best enjoyment is being comfortable with that sister. So the Prophet didn't say something wrong. Our nature testifies to it. Peace and blessings be upon the Prophet. Now, also, the Prophet says, the prayers and the peace be on him, paradise lies at the feet of the mother. Huh? Paradise lies at the feet of the mother. Here, the prophet has made paradise. Something that we can get through the mother. Through the mother. He says paradise lies at her feet. If he said paradise lies at the route 65 there, won't we start looking for it? He said paradise lies at the foot of the mother. So we should go look at her. Go looking for it. Go to her. Support that mother. Respect her. Love her. Value her. Invest in her. Yes. Because paradise lies at her feet. It's not me. This is religion. Don't charge me with saying it. Everybody want to accuse me of bid'ah. Oh, that's an innovation. The imam is guilty of always bringing an innovation into religion. He gets that from his father. No, that's no bid'ah. That's the bit. Put it in your mouth and you'll be guided right. Now, so much for the woman, for the respect is due woman, but we are just touching upon it. There's an excellent book out, too, and I'm going to mention this book. It's by Dr. Ahmed Sakhar, who I've known since 1967, I believe. That's a long time. It's called Matrimonial. I can't finish it. But you, Dr. Ahmed Sakhar. You'll get the rest of it. It'll come to me later on in the talk. I won't try to remember it now. Now let me come to something that may be a little more touching to you, and that is this new influence that we're having in the African American family of people, especially in America, called Afrocentricity. Afrocentricity. Now, I may surprise you. I am not against Afrocentricity if it is honest and straight. I wasn't against, and I'm not against, black studies in our schools and on our campuses. But I'm not comfortable with it because I know it hasn't been honest and straight. Likewise, for this belief that's being spread now under the influence of the name Afrocentricity. I'm not pleased with it at all. Why? It says that we should make Africa the center, right? That's what it says. We should make Africa the center, and all of us of the African family should look to Africa as the center. But it ignores Islam that has become the center and has been the center for the continent of Africa for many centuries. For many centuries, our religion has been the center for that continent. But they want to ignore that and go to idolatry, anything but true religion. They don't even respect real Christianity on the continent. They want to go to idolatry. So that tells me that someone wants to sell me an Afrocentric belief that is a cheat. It's cheating me out of my rich past and identity with the continent of Africa. Africa, before Islam, we know it had ancient civilizations. But why should I ignore traces, small remnants of an ancient civilization, when I have nearer to me in time great evidence of mighty people, mighty civilization, influenced by Islam, Islamic civilization. Now, they will mention Songhai. They will mention Askia the Great. They will mention these figures, but they mention them passing over, passing by, playing down any importance for Islam in their life. And you have to search to find the connection with al-Islam. When you should have to search to connect, to find the connection with the ancient bones, with the ancient superstitions, with the ancient idolatries. You should have to search to find that, because al-Islam came and overshadowed that and pushed idolatry and primitive behavior out of the continent of Africa almost totally. And also Christianity has had a great role on that continent. So if they're going to bring us to an Afrocentricity, they should respect the fact that that religion revealed by God has done more for that continent than any so-called idolatry or primitive ideas about religion. Established religion, Christianity and al-Islam, particularly al-Islam, has done more for the civilizing of that continent, for the enrichment of the intellect and the human nature and soul of that continent than anything else. This is a fact of history. So why cheat me? If you want me to make Africa my center of my life, the center of my focus for my reality, then don't cheat me. Don't have me looking at bone and superstition and faked up cosmetic ideas when there's real truth of the excellence and the civilization of these people that I can go right to in history and touch it. What does that tell me? And if you study who were involved in spreading this belief called Afrocentricity or whatever, this connection with that idea, you will find that the enemies of Islam are among them. The enemies of our religion are among them. So I want to say to you that this affects the family too. This is going to spread. Pretty soon, your family members are going to be influenced by this wave of Afrocentricity. Your boys are going to be influenced by it. Already some of our children are influenced by it. The prophets of that idea, the false prophets, the cheaters, the false cheating prophets of that idea, they're getting on the television. They're on the media. They're reaching our home. And they're fascinating us. Why? Because our souls have a great void. We have a great need to connect with our ancient land, our ancient people, with ancient history. America has kept all that from us, and now it gives us it to us in a very deceitful way by letting the enemies of Islam tell us about our past. When our past has been mostly Islam, and it should be the Muslims telling us about that past and not the enemies of Islam. So they're cheating us. Even while they're pretending to be sincere and straight, they're cheating us out of the truth of our past. Cheating us out of it, the richness of our past. They're cheating us. And I repeat, the false prophets are going about preaching that idea. And they're reaching our homes. They're reaching your children. More and more they're going to be reaching us. Muslims, we have to be aware of that. You have to remember, sisters and brothers, to tell your children that don't you be taken by this. The best past we have as people of Africa is Islamic.
The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This new book is must-reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sensemaker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W. Dean Muhammad, The Sensemaker. Imam W. Dean Muhammad speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.